A reading, Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessings of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's word today, we welcome Pastor Bruce Skelton, Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Highlands Ranch, Colorado.
Hello, the text for our meditation this morning is taken from the 4th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. What is your problem? Have you ever been asked that question? How did you answer it? Well, we Lutherans have a pat answer for it, don't we? Sin, that's the problem. Yes, we Lutherans talk a lot about sin, as well we should, and yet it is important for us to keep in mind that it is what undergirds sin that is the real problem, namely, unbelief. It is unbelief that causes us to sin, and unbelief that ultimately brings about eternal condemnation. Beginning with the first commandment and going right on through to the last one, all of them are broken in some way, shape, or form because we don't believe in God or trust in his saving power. We steal because we do not believe that God can provide for our material needs. We commit adultery because we do not believe that God can help us with our sexual urges. We bear false witness against our neighbor because we do not believe that God will exalt us in the truth. And so on it goes. until the AIDS virus of unbelief so weakens our souls so that the disease of sin can come in and finish us off. So what can be done? How can we be cured of this dread affliction? Abraham believed God, St. Paul writes, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. When it came to speaking about faith, St. Paul couldn't have found a better example. When we look at how God dealt with Abraham, we could very easily ask, why did Abraham believe in God at all? It seems that God tested him at every turn, very harshly. He waited until Abraham was 75 years old before he called him to leave his nice, comfortable surroundings and to travel out to the wilderness of Canaan, to be a tent-dwelling wanderer, a stranger in a strange land. And it wasn't until Abraham was about 100 years old and Sarah in her 90s that both of them were as good as dead, Paul writes, that God finally delivered to them the promised child, Isaac. And then, after they had raised Isaac and loved him dearly, God asked Abraham to do the unthinkable, to offer him up as a burnt sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And yet through it all, Abraham believed God. He believed God could and would do the impossible, including raising the dead. Wow, we might say, that sounds like Abraham was almost a Christian. Well, of course he was. He was, for even though God tested Abraham greatly, Abraham responded in faith. He responded the same way all believers respond. He believed God, and he trusted in God's promises, and by believing he was saved. For not only did he believe in the promises that God would give him a son, and that his descendants would possess the land where he was then a stranger, but he also believed another promise God had given long before. He believed the promise given to Adam and Eve that one day the Lord would send a Savior to crush the serpent's head. Now this is where I think some people are confused, because they assume that the saints of the Old Testament were somehow saved in a different manner from the way we're saved today. That is not true. Abraham believed in the promised Savior, even though that promised Savior wouldn't be born for another 2,000 years. So Abraham too was saved by grace through faith in Jesus, just as we are now saved in that same faith some 2,000 years after the birth of God's only begotten Son. This is why St. Paul holds Abraham before our eyes, so that we might know that in spite of the difficulties and the hardships that we face in our lives, there is a God in heaven, a God who loves us with a love that is beyond our understanding, that God will in the end deliver us and raise us from the dead and give unto us eternal life. It is this faith, and the faith of Abraham, that is counted to us also as righteousness. It is this faith that God has implanted in our hearts in holy baptism. It is this faith that is strengthened and nourished when we come and dine on Christ's body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine of Holy Communion. It is this faith for which God's holy precious word was written, as St. John records in his Gospel, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And it is this faith that makes us the spiritual descendants of Abraham, inheritors of heaven with him and all the faithful, all who have believed and will believe God, and who are credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And to him be all glory, honor, power, and might, now and forever. Amen.
We thank Pastor Bruce Skelton for today's meditation on God's Word.